welcome into the KXSC studios for another edition of the No Huddle Offense here, a KXC Daily Trojan production, and we are talking about USC football. Once again, a victors in week two, 23-14 over Utah in the inaugural Pac-12 game. Now joining us is, of course, once again, Trevor Wong and Joey Kaufman, co-sports editors for the Daily Trojan, and also columnist Joey's 19 poll. And Trevor's, of course, bi-weekly shares with me on Fridays in the zone. Guys, 2-0, how are we feeling?
2-0 is 2-0. Eh.
Wow, that was really, I'm going to ask it one more time. 2-0, how are we feeling?
Feeling pretty good. I guess you got to take the wins when they come. I'm feeling underwhelmed.
Underwhelmed. Let's talk about it, though. They win 23-14. Obviously, the score not indicative of how close that game really was. The blocked field goal at the end. Torrin Harris runs it back. Of course, there's the penalty. So, originally, it was 17-14. They end up adding a few more points. At the end of the day, when you look at that, what's your lasting memory of that game?
My lasting memory is that it shouldn't have been that close. I think SC improved from week one to week two, and I think that shouldn't necessarily be forgotten. But I think when you look at the big picture of that game, there were moments where SC could have put Utah away. It was 10-0. Mark Tyler scores on a 6-yard touchdown run. SC then drives the ball. Barkley throws a pick. It's 10-7. They're driving. Morgan fumbles. Late in the second half, they have the lead. Xavier Gribble fumbles. They had chances throughout that game to put Utah away, and they let Utah hang around. And it's a good team that's going to bite them in the butt.
Yeah, to touch on what Joey said, I think the turnovers really stood out. Against Minnesota, similarly, they did have chances to put Minnesota away too, but they let them hang around. And then last weekend against Utah, they just let them hang around. It kind of brought back memories.
And look, you can call Utah a young team. You can call – or not Utah. You can call USC a young team. You can call them an experience. You could say Utah made great defensive plays, but the bottom line is SC was driving. They moved the ball, and they turned the ball over at the end of those drives. You can't do that no matter how the turnovers came about. You can't expect to win. You can't turn the ball over in the red zone. You've got to finish drives.
Let's recap Utah-USC with our favorite segment. It is the good, the bad, the ugly. To the good. Mark Tyler returns, and in his first week, not only does he rush for over 100 yards, he gets 24 carries. And obviously, some of that was because DJ Morgan, as you said, Joey, put the ball on the ground. Lane Kiffin said afterwards that made a decision very easily. What did you make of Mark Tyler's game? Were you surprised he got as many carries as he did?
I was actually pretty surprised. But yeah, after Morgan fumbled, I wasn't surprised because I knew Kiffin was going to probably sit him. It just turned out to be that type of game where I think USC really needed Tyler, and it was a good thing that the coaching staff reinstated him.
I'm not really surprised at all. I think Tyler, if you look at the running backs on that team, is far and away their best running back. He's their strongest. He's their biggest. He's near 240 pounds. He's their best downfield runner. And I think SC has been looking for an excuse to play Tyler all season as long as they get him back and reinstated and in the lineup and healthy and ready to go. And Morgan fumbling proved to be the perfect opportunity. You just get Tyler the rock the rest of the game and let him go. And I think that's why we saw Mark Tyler carry the ball nearly 30 times.
Yeah, they're good, and we have to focus on it because last year, if there was an Achilles heel, it was the fourth quarter defense. This time, in the last 7 minutes, they had not one, not two, not three, but four defensive stands. What did you make of the job they did in closing out that game against Utah?
Well, I think pretty much the defense won us the game because the offense really struggled. I think they couldn't find any rhythm, and then, of course, the turnovers early on. I think the defense really stepped up, and they really won us that game.
Yeah, I think kudos to the defense. I think that's, if there's one thing SC is to hang his hat on in weeks one and week two, it's the defense. They also had two sacks against Utah. They've gotten a lot of pressure on quarterback, and they finally got to win, I felt, in the fourth quarter. They finally started timing blitz packages right. I think Case Blard had a couple plays where he got in Wynn's face. So I think if you look at that defensive front, played very well in the fourth quarter. That was a good thing for Monty Kiffin and company.
When you look at the bad, the combined 5-point margin of victory, we've talked about it, they weren't able to close out teams. Another close game where you're looking at the stat sheet and you're wondering, well, Barkley's looking better besides the one interception. Woods has had a nice game. Tyler obviously has had a great game. The defense is doing everything they can. Does that scare you right now? Obviously, the 5-point margin of victory for the first two wins, the smallest in school history, this point differential so close. Obviously, it turned out not to be 5 points because of the late touchdown, but still, close margin of victory again. You're playing against a team that you should beat by more than 9 points. Obviously, we say 9 points. It really wasn't that close. these close games, how worried are you?
I wouldn't fret too much because it is game two, but at the same time, it is somewhat frustrating for these kids because they have this training camp slogan, bats are a ball. They emphasize getting the turnover margin more in SC's favor. It was only, I believe, plus four last year. Now it's minus two, which actually they're minus one per game, and that's the eighth. That's tied for last in the Pac-10 with Arizona State. So I think the mere fact that it's been a point of emphasis during training camp and the fact that it's so low compared to the rest of the conference right now is a bit concerning.
Yeah, I don't think it scares me, but it is concerning because you can't just keep playing like this and expect to win these close games. Eventually, a better team's going to take advantage, and they're going to win in the end.
Obviously, they just emphasize this from January to August. Don't turn it over, don't turn it over, don't turn it over. And the first two games come out the gate, turn it over.
And that's the ugly, too. It's the inconsistencies. And this week it was three turnovers. Last week it was eight penalties. Against a team like ASU, Oregon, Stanford, is this team really good enough right now to get the job done and win maybe one, two of those three games?
Right now, I say the way they're playing, probably not. Probably not. I think they need to put together four quarters of really good football, and right now they're probably playing one half.
I agree. They just need to be more consistent, but that could just be an experienced freshman. That could be coaching errors. We don't know the answer to that question yet, so I think the cause for that inconsistency will be huge.
We'll get to the point spread in a little bit. Obviously, 16.5 right now, so that leads me to real or not real. The first one, USC will blow out an opponent this season. By blowout, I mean by double digits. We'll just leave it at double digits right now.
It's going to be like this the rest of the season. They're not going to blow out anybody. Games will be close throughout. And it's just the way the makeup of this team is right now.
I actually think they might blow Syracuse out if blowing out constitutes double digits. Syracuse is coming off a 7-point touchdown victory over Rhode Island last week, projected to finish toward the bottom of the Big East despite an 8-4 finish last year. They had a nice quarterback in Doug Marrone, but I think all in all, I like SC a lot. Although I warn you, Gus Johnson is calling the game. There's the Gus Johnson factor. This could be close.
Let's get to it. Mark Tyler, obviously, we talked about reestablish himself as the number one back, a name we have not mentioned, and you guys said, of course, he's going to get more than two touches. Dylan Baxter, he got exactly two touches, a reception for no yards, and a running play for 2 yards. Is he going to transfer, real or not real?
I think he actually will. He did not look happy after the Utah game again. I don't know why Kiffin's not playing him. I think they might expect too much out of him, considering he's a five-star recruit coming out of high school. But with him getting very little time the first couple games, and I just don't see him sticking around.
I don't see him transferring just yet. I think it's only two games in, and granted, he can get the touches he wants. And also, remember, Morgan fumbled last year. Last year, Alan Bradford fumbled against Oregon State, pretty much got shoved into the doghouse. So I'll be curious to see if a similar situation unfolds with Morgan. That said, I think Baxter could possibly see more playing time coupled with Mark Tyler. So it'll be interesting to watch here in the next week or two. But I think for mid-October, Baxter's averaging two carries a game. I think you'll definitely hear a little bit of grumbling about transferring. But he met with Kiffin last week, and they said transferring wasn't on the table to discuss. So I would be surprised if all of a sudden he had a dramatic change of heart in 1 week.
All right. The next question is, and Robert Woods has been a superstar. It's well documented. We've highlighted it. Mark Tyler has a great game. Let's talk about it in the receiving game. Do you think someone will emerge as the number two receiver this year? Week one, it was Marquise Lee, who had 5 catches, 39 yards. Xavier Grimble with the touchdown in the great 3-catch drive he had in the third quarter until he fumbled. Will we see someone emerge as that second option in the passing game?
I don't know if there will be a clear-cut number two, but I think it will be on a game-by-game basis where we saw what you said, Marquise Lee in game one, Xavier Grimble in game two. But I think they need to be more consistent in terms of how Barkley's looking to them and not always relying on Woods.
I think Marquise Lee has a decent shot of being that number two receiver. He's looked pretty good thus far. He's run clean routes. He hasn't had too many drops. I think, by and large, he's asserted himself well as a freshman. I think he could really take over that number two job. I don't see it being a guy like Brandon Carswell or Bryce Butler or Kyle Prater taking over that number two role. So I think Marquise Lee has probably the best shot out of anybody to take over as a permanent threat opposite Woods.
And last question here for real or not real. You guys talked about being underwhelmed. At 2-0, should the Trojans though feel happy that they're at least 2-0 and not 1-1 or 0-2?
I think USC, the players themselves, should be very happy about 2-0. I think after everything that's gone on with the program off the field, I think to open up a season with two consecutive wins and with a great chance of winning against Syracuse, potentially go with their first homestand in the first three games, I think it's something they definitely should not be upset about at all. I think there are things to work on from here on out, but I think they should be excited about it for sure.
No, they should definitely be happy. You got to take the wins as they come. And considering how they won, how the defense stepped up in the fourth quarter, I think that's huge for them. That gives them the confidence, considering how last year they really struggled at the end.
All right, let's get to over-under. Obviously, points put back on the board after the game, so they ended up with 23 points. They ended up with 19 in week one. That's an average, of course, of 21 if you can do math at home. Over-under, USC scores 20 points against Syracuse this week.
Over. I think Syracuse is probably the worst team USC's faced this season. I think they save for maybe Minnesota, you could argue that point. But I think SC is better now than they were week one. I think SC has no trouble with Syracuse.
Yeah, I'm going over two. I see a gradual improvement. I hope, I think Barkley and his receivers will be on win rhythm. The running game will get going. I think we see at least 30 points.
Dave, if you're looking for Betty advice, might take SC on the over.
I take SC. He's offering it. I think I should take it.
That's free advice, Dave.
His great insight on riding the over-under.
Who's winning best bets?
I don't know, but it's not me.
It's probably me.
We are moving on to a subject I know more about, and that's Mark Tyler. Over-under 25 carries. He had a lot in his first game back. It seems to be with that kind of confidence, and with DJ Morgan obviously in the doghouse a little bit after that fumble, you'd expect Tyler to not only stuff, but probably get more carries than maybe he did in week two. Do you think he gets 25 against Syracuse?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I assume he'll probably start, and the Trojans are going to need him to pound the ball again. They're going to open up the passing game against Syracuse.
I'm actually taking the under on this one, not necessarily because I think Tyler gets a few carries in favor of somebody else, but I think SC airs it out a fair amount against Syracuse. Spoke about earlier, I think guys like Baxter actually get a few carries, so I'm taking just a little under.
I think Dylan Baxter enjoys listening to this because you guys have a lot more optimism before the game's played that he's going to get more touches than he will. So
I'm buying Dylan Baxter stock. It's low right now. I think it's a good chance to get there and buy
Look,
stock.
When talking about Dylan Baxter, we'll veer off for a quick second. In my mind, he did everything the coaches asked of him in fall, in summer. Talking to him, he was a different – you could tell he was a different person. You could tell even he was a different runner. He wasn't, as flashy. He was hitting holes. I don't know what's going on. I really don't.
Which is why I find the whole thing somewhat bizarre, because they talked about game one. Well, we didn't have any packages set up for him. Then why not set a package up for him? This is a kid who's came in as a highly decorated recruit, played well actually at times last year, very inconsistent, didn't often play well, but he did show some bright spots here and there. Had a good offseason, had a good training camp.
I thought he had the best ball camp of any running back.
You don't at least test. I thought he had a chance to start. You don't at least see what you have in him. That is what I find bizarre.
Let's move on, and this one's a little bit more facetious. Over-under, and this is 12 for two guys. Field goal blocks on the season for Matt Khalil and game-clinching plays for Torn Harris. Over-under for both of them, 12.
Is that combined?
That's individually.
Individually.
They're on pace for 12 each.
Dave, you are hilarious.
I'm going to go under. I don't think they'll make a game-saving play every game.
You don't think so? He's already got two.
I'm taking over. I think they block one and have a game-saving play in every play, and because they have so many, they actually play in a bowl game and get one in the bowl
the
game.
Table.
So they're going to have over, Dave.
I'm sorry if this makes you turn off this podcast. Our hilarity is obviously not that funny after all. Okay, over under a little bit more serious. Right now, Ryan Nassib, the senior quarterback for Syracuse, completion percentage just over 75%. Over under 75% for Saturday.
Under. I'm going to say the secondary shuts him down.
Under, Dave. Under.
How under?
Much under.
Okay.
65%.
I think in the 60s, low 60s.
And finally, Joey's already said he's taking the over, but I want to hear how much over. 16.5 is where the betting line is right now for USC. They have beaten their combined opponents by 5.5 points. Syracuse 2-0, an overtime win, a comeback win last week by 7. Yeah, Joey thinks the over. Joey, how much over are you taking?
I think around 17 points, actually. 17, 21 points. I think SC could win close to 3 touchdowns. I think they're playing at home. I think this is finally a chance for them to blow out an opponent. They've had wins in week one and week two. They got a big game against Arizona State coming up. I think they kind of finish the home stand with a nice, resounding victory over the Syracuse woman.
I'm going to go opposite of Joey. Syracuse will cover. I just don't think this USC team is ready to blow any teams out. I just think every game will be close on from here on out.
Despite SC struggles, I think it's a flower, young flower waiting to blossom.
Third time's the charm, I guess.
And that's where we are going to end this, as a young flower waiting to blossom. For Daily Trojan and KXSC, it is Joey Kaufman, it is Trevor Long, I'm Dave Dolberg. Can't even say the last name. This has been the No Huddle Offense. Now sending it out to the USC pregame show presented by McKay's and Rosa Oro.